This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. Education is certainly on the mind of Democratic State Representative Joel Briscoe. The freshman lawmaker represents the progressive-leaning House District 25, including Eastern Salt Lake County and Summit County. He's a former longtime teacher and now works for the Davis Education Association. I spoke with Briscoe about many legislative proposals regarding education, immigration, the state budget, and more. I began our conversation by asking him whether being a lawmaker is more or less demanding than he expected, now 3 weeks into the legislative session.
You know, it's more demanding in some ways. When I came up as an interested citizen and as a teacher, I was following several and sometimes a number of bills, but as a legislator, you're voting on every single one, and it's a lot of legislation to keep track of.
Mm-hmm. And certainly there are a lot of people who are probably trying to get your attention as well.
That's true, and I'm glad that there are people who are trying to get my attention because people have information and they have a point of view and their constituents, and they need to be heard.
What would you say is a number one concern on your mind right now, Representative Briscoe, when it comes to what needs to be done during the session?
My number one concern is the budget. The big debate up here is the governor's budget versus some members of the majority party's budget, who would prefer that we eliminate in the next fiscal year the entire $300 million budget deficit. They're calling it, it's essentially a deficit. We are running the state budget this year on $300 million of one-time money, federal money from Congress and from the rainy day fund that we've depleted somewhat. Some people would prefer that we eliminate that $300 million next year. The governor has recommended, and I think he reasonably so, that it took 2 or 3 or 4 years to slide into this, and we shouldn't try and get out of it in 1 year.
Right.
And that his budget would recommend a $200 million structural imbalance or deficit for next year and spending down a little bit more of the rainy day fund, but not entirely eliminating it. I think that's a reasonable approach. That, to me, is the big issue.
And so what kind of impact on public education are we talking about under the Republicans' budget proposal? I think the number I heard was at least $166 million. Does that sound about right?
That's what they're currently working on, and their response is that it's early in the process and there's more money to be put on. Every committee that builds a budget, I'm on the Executive Offices Committee, which funds the governor's office, the attorney general's office, public safety, highway patrol, corrections, the courts, juvenile justice. Every budget that everyone's in this year got cut 7%. Across the board, every division of that budget got cut 7%, because that's what $300 million equates to. And $166 million out of public education is 7% of public education. In the Executive Offices Committee I sit on, it's $33 million. So that's how large the public education budget is. That 7% of it's $166 million. They will make some changes, and once they adopt these budgets, they will go back and look at least $215, $16 million of anticipated new revenue, and maybe there'll be a little bit more if projections we get in a couple of weeks show that. But the economy's not doing so well that we're going to see another $200 million on top of that money. The current plan for public education shows the legislature providing no money to school districts for paying for the retirement and Social Security costs of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about cutting out a number of other items. I think those cuts are draconian, and we're literally cutting off our nose to spite our face. It looks good on paper to save this amount of money, but we're going to be paying for it in the long run and maybe even in the short term.
Would you say under the most optimistic scenario you would see public education still being cut in some way?
Yes, I do.
Let's talk about some of the various education-related proposals, Representative Briscoe, some of the bills that have been proposed. I know these are of interest to you as a longtime, a former educator yourself. The The ones that are the most intriguing so far are these proposed constitutional amendments we're seeing, one sponsored by Republican Senator Chris Butters, that would make the state school board accountable to laws that are passed by the Utah legislature. Governor Herbert has said it doesn't seem like a very favorable idea to him. What do you think?
I think it's a mistake. I've become more convinced than ever that the one thing the legislature should not be is a curriculum committee. They should not be writing lesson plans. They should not be, I don't think the legislature should be a zoning agency. I'm receiving emails from people in Utah County telling me they don't think anyone should go to school full-day kindergarten. And I've responded politely and stated that in Salt Lake City, where I represent a big chunk of Salt Lake City,
right,
every elementary school has at least one kindergarten class that's full-day. And every Title I school in Salt Lake City, every kindergarten is full-day, which in my mind is all the more reason why the legislature should not be making these decisions for every school district. What might be working in Utah County or its citizens may or may not want should not be by legislative fiat made to rule in another county. And because perhaps in Utah County they may or may not want full-day kindergarten doesn't mean that some other district doesn't want full-day kindergarten. And all the governor is asking for in his budget is $7.5 million for keeping kindergarten going at places where children are coming to school not really at risk of not being successful. So should the legislature be, you know, by fiat or diktat making rules for the state board? I'm not convinced that that would be wise. I would be opposed.
And along those same lines, there's another amendment that would actually put Governor Herbert, or whoever happens to be governor at the time, in charge of public education and may even do away with the state school board altogether. What do you think of that?
You know, I'm skeptical. Senator Reid spoke to some of us about that before the session, looking for support. I told him if Governor Huntsman were the governor, I might feel more inclined. And their model is the Board of Regents and universities, because they're appointed by the governor, and there are some very highly qualified people who are appointed, and they believe that they would get better policy. I would much prefer a return to direct election of members of the state school board rather than the convoluted and arcane process that is now used to put people on the state school board. So I'm skeptical of just turning it over to the governor. Senator Reid is very persuasive, and everyone ought to listen to him give his pitch. And perhaps he's right. I remain yet to be convinced.
We're talking with Democratic State Representative Joel Briscoe, who represents Salt Lake City and part of Summit County as well. And Joel, you were talking about how the Democrats are supportive of Governor Herbert's budget and the approach he takes, not cutting as much money as the Republicans. Do you get the sense then that Governor Herbert is fully behind public education in Utah, that he's trying to do as much as he can?
Well, the phrase as much as he can is in the eye of the beholder.
And, true.
The governor's budget does include some money for the first time in 3 years to pay for teachers to teach those 12, 13, 14,000 new students will be showing up for the first time in Utah schools next year. Unfortunately, his budget does not include the retirement and Social Security costs for those new teachers. I haven't seen a plan out of the Republican caucus for how to fund growth, although I will say that I have been in two public occasions. People have asked Speaker Lockhart if they think the legislature will be able to fund growth for students, and she has said yes. And I hope that's the case. A lot of the tough decisions are coming up in the legislature in the next few weeks, and we'll see. I hope that we do that.
And as a former educator and as a labor consultant who now represents educators, how hard have the budget cuts been on Utah's teachers these past few years?
I know districts on the Wasatch Front that have cut $60 million in the last 2 years. And Jordan School District is seeing significant layoffs. Their financial difficulties, of course, precede the recession. The separation of canyons has been devastating to their tax base. I was at a debate with Howard Stevenson and some other legislators, and I was asked if you could, we were all asked, what's one thing you would do right now if you could do it? One of the things one of my top priorities would be to return to every school district enough money to provide some more days for teachers before school starts.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every district that's been cut. And that's something that parents don't see. That's something that it's difficult for the public to understand, but almost every school district has given up some or all of those days, which are days that teachers use to prepare in their classroom, schools and districts use to help bring teachers up to speed on new curriculum and new methods. And we're going to start seeing the effect of that. Teachers are very dispirited. Their class sizes are going up dramatically, and I'm very concerned.
And one final education question, Representative Briscoe. You mentioned Senator Howard Stevenson, who's always involved in education-related legislation. He has proposed this new online school system that's raised a lot of eyebrows because the idea is apparently if a student chooses to attend it, the education dollars spent on that student would go to potentially a private company operating this online school. Does that raise concerns for you?
Yeah, absolutely it does. It's an online voucher bill.
Hmm.
If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck and smells like a duck, it's a duck. And if you ask a local school district who collects tax dollars to educate its own children to pay for the tuition costs of a child to take a course that's not taught by anyone inside the public school system, it's a voucher. Students are now able to take for free through Utah's own tax dollars, mm-hmm. expenditures, teachers teach online courses. That's available to them. When that's available to them for free, it covers the state core curriculum. I don't understand why the state should be taking very, very scarce education resources and giving them to private vendors.
Representative Briscoe, let's move on to the topic of immigration now. Certainly in the past couple weeks, we've seen more and more immigration-related proposals come out of the woodwork. There's Representative Steven Sandstrom's enforcement bill. There's Senator Luis Robles and Republican Jeremy Peterson's bill aimed at creating a guest worker program. Do you think there is a plausible possibility that lawmakers could come up with one immigration bill that would be something that could satisfy everybody, or is that too much to hope for?
I hear a lot. There are a lot of groups meeting who are trying to do just exactly what you've described, which is come up with a system, a bill that would not do everything that immigrant advocates would want to see happen and would not do everything that people who believe enforcement is the primary mechanism would do. Interestingly, I think every member of Congress except for Senator Lee has now come to address us.
Mm-hmm.
And Representative Bishop said we should focus on enforcement first. Representative Matheson and Representative the guy down in Utah County, sorry,
Chaffetz.
Yep. Jason Chaffetz said you can't just start with enforcement. And Representative Sandstrom has said he's amending his bill. And maybe he sees the writing on the wall and he doesn't have the support he needs just for an enforcement-only mechanism. My viewpoint is that I'm with Representative Sandstrom. I want to know everyone who's in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that's essential to the security of the United States. However, we incentivize people to come here, and simply telling them not to come is not going to keep them from coming because we have a law that says you shouldn't do it, and we're going to, in some various version, round you up and send you home. Our economy is a huge draw, and our economy in many areas depends upon this labor, and so I'm empathetic and reading very carefully these bills to set up a guest worker program. I do agree ultimately with the Utah Compact. Congress needs to get it together and do this. There is talk among some people that if Utah and some other states put together something that tries to do a really good balancing job of bringing people in a systematic and in a systematic way to try and help match them up with labor needs, but also, requires people, does some modest enforcement of some issues, maybe Congress might see that there is a will in the states to do something. I can't judge that. I'm going to have to vote on a Utah law. I will not vote for an enforcement-only bill. I think it's punitive and will not ultimately affect immigration in a positive way. I don't think it'll keep people from coming.
Along those same lines, there are two specific proposals to repeal laws already in place. One would repeal the driving privilege card that illegal immigrants can currently use to drive legally on Utah roads, and the other would repeal allowing undocumented immigrants to pay the in-state rate for tuition in Utah's colleges and universities. What are your stance on these bills?
Senator Urquhart's proposal to do away with the driving privilege card, to me, is a soft enforcement approach. It's in some ways disingenuous, because if you don't want them here, why don't we just pass a law saying we're going to pack them up and ship them out? Why would, if they're going to be here and they're going to be working here, and I haven't seen anyone come up with a proposal that is going to keep people out of Utah, then why would we not want them driving legally on our roads? If we want them driving furtively on our roads, I want to come up with a system where we know who's here, they have a permit to be here, and then, you know, if I'm coming up from Central America or Mexico and I've got one of those cards, I'm doing everything I can to be the best, you know, visiting citizen I can be, visiting, you know, guest worker I can be, and I'm going to obey the law and pay my taxes. And giving people a guest driving privilege card is going to do the same, put them on the roads. I don't see the merit in getting rid of it. I strongly oppose doing away with the right of children who, through no fault of their own, are brought into this country by parents who complete 3 years of Utah high school and then have the means to get into school and pay in-state tuition. I can't think of anything more dispiriting to those students than telling them, you know, you're now going to pay out-of-state tuition. I think that would be a tragic mistake.
And finally, Representative Briscoe, for the next couple of minutes, let's talk about the current political situation in the Utah legislature. As a freshman Democrat, you are part of a Democratic caucus that is even smaller than it was last year. Democrats lost 5 seats in the House. They lost an additional seat in the Senate. So Republicans control 3/4 of both houses right now. Do you feel, as both a freshman lawmaker and as a Democrat, that your voice is being heard right now?
Boy, you really know how to hurt a guy, don't you? You know, there's 58 of them and there's 17 of us in the House, and those numbers are, you know, face facts. We've had, in our caucus today, we talked about some victories we've had. We've successfully prevented, at least to date, some bills from getting out of committee. With our votes and some Republican votes, we defeated Representative Sandstrom's bill, which would have lifted the ban on phosphorus and liquid detergents.
Right.
Democrats helped with some Republicans help successfully gut the worst parts of Representative Oda's feral cat bill. Democrats and some Republicans helped defeat, at least to date, Representative Herod's bill, which would have opened up avenues for people to drive with young children in cars without booster seats.
Right.
And we count those as successes. I also think that our voice is also being heard on some of the appropriations committees, and I think the Republicans are really going to struggle with some of these cuts. This is really a very difficult year because federal money and some rainy day funds from our own state have tided over some of the worst effects of the recession the last 2 years, and even with that money, they've been tough 2 years, and the chickens are coming home to roost. I mean, I'm on executive appropriations, and we're talking about closing a pod and release of the prison and releasing 850 prisoners. I don't think that's going to happen. But the court system, looking at the cuts, 7% cut, is looking at closing 10 courts statewide, cutting back on parole for juvenile offenders.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about closing 3 juvenile detention centers, 2 rural and 1 Wasatch Front, and closing every juvenile intake center. We're talking about laying another 75 people off in the court system. We're talking about cuts to highway patrol, to the Attorney General's office, to the auditor's office, to the governor's office. At what point do the cuts actually damage your ability to provide the rights that Utahns are supposed to have? I mean, we're facing that on this committee, and I know every committee is facing very difficult decisions.
We're speaking with State Democratic Representative Joel Briscoe, who represents Salt Lake County and parts of Summit County. Are there then, it sounds like, some moderate Democrats that on particular bills will team with the Democrats and vote with your party?
There have been a few instances, and I think we've had a few examples of that occurring. I mean, let's be a realist. They got 58 votes. But if the Democrats had 58 votes, we'd probably have some issues in managing the size of our caucus. I'd love to see the day, but there are some moderate Democrats that work with us on some issues, and sometimes I think people just take them. One of the new Republicans who sits close to me launched a very passionate and successful challenge to Representative Sandstrom's bill to tell hotel owners that they have to let people bring guns in the hotel whether they want to or not.
Right.
And most Democrats and a number of Republicans voted that bill down. So, and I don't think he's a liberal Republican. I just think that some of the freshmen bring some interesting points of view that are being heard, and they're not afraid to speak up.
And Joel, we've talked a lot about other bills. Let me talk about some of the bills that you're sponsoring. What pieces of legislation are you trying to bring forward, and how much success are you finding in getting them heard in committee?
Well, right now, I'm just trying to get a couple of bills out of rules. I've got a bill which would increase the amount of money local school boards could raise from their own citizens to increase educational funding efforts. I think that might be even preferable to increased funding from the legislature, because if one size doesn't fit all, why should we design all the programs for every school district?
Mm-hmm.
If school boards had their own opportunity to go to their own citizens and say, in one district, it might just be simply shoring up finances. Maybe Salt Lake City, maybe one district wants to move, have found such success with full-day kindergarten, they would like to extend that to all their schools. Maybe another district would like to lower class size. And I would like to see school boards who are accountable through elections and regular public meetings with their own teachers, parents, citizens, and taxpayers be able to make those decisions. I think that, in some ways, is preferable to the legislature. And I think it's a common-sense approach that I hope I can get support for. And I'm working on a bill which would allow city councils to place a very small amount on utility bills inside cities, which could build up a fund they could use to bury power lines, transmission lines for electrical power.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get a bill ready to deal with notification of people who spray pesticides and herbicides. There are a number of states that either are around schools or sometimes wider areas require companies who spray to give some sort of notification to people so those with pets or chemical sensitivities can stay indoors or get out of the way for a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
And avoid some of the problems caused by very dangerous chemicals. Those are some of the bills I'm working on.
We've been speaking with Democratic State Representative Joel Briscoe, who is in the middle of his first term as a Utah lawmaker. Well, Representative, we're 3 weeks into the session. Good luck with the next 4 weeks, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all the efforts you do in informing the community. And everyone, tune into the legislature, come up and visit us, and get online.
Thanks, Joel.
You bet.